I think that I would have anticipated something like twice as fast. It's not necessarily four times as fast. And the reason that this number is really interesting, this increase in rate, or so remarkable to us, is that prior to this point, we always assumed that the fins that burned severely were a net source of carbon to the atmosphere, meaning they lost more carbon in the fire than they could hope to reaccumulate before the next fire came through.
Ecologists like Johnstone have worried for years about the amount of carbon that could be lost to the atmosphere from wildfire in the boreal forest, because that could lead to what she calls a runaway feedback loop with climate change.
And so this example of more rapid accumulation of carbon in deciduous broadleaf stands is a way of thinking of putting the brakes on the runaway train. And it's really valuable to recognize that by changing the type of vegetation that recovers after fire, we actually change the carbon accumulation rate.
Johnstone says the change in vegetation regime might help bring the system back into control, at least for a bit. There are limits to this seeming self-regulation.
So let's change the metaphor to driving a bus down the highway. And what we are concerned about is that as climate warming leads to more fire weather, we get more severe and active fires burning in the boreal forest that releases more carbon. And that's just pushing the accelerator pedal down on this bus.
The added carbon accumulation as the forest regime regenerates and shifts from coniferous to deciduous trees, that's like putting the parking brake on while driving the bus, says Johnstone.
So you're slowing down that acceleration, but it's not enough to stop it completely. And as long as we are continuing to pump carbon into the atmosphere, particularly through our own fossil fuel combustion, then we're going to keep accelerating. But this feedback of vegetation change in the boreal forest is at least pushing back against that acceleration to slow us down. And we need to use all the tools available to us to help slow that bus down, because it's headed to go over a cliff.
Discovering this natural shift took some sleuthing.
This research really played out like a detective novel. At first, we noticed, oh, the fires seem to be doing different things, and asking questions about, well, if the way the fire burns changes, how does that change the forest regeneration? And that required a bunch of experiments and following patterns of forest regeneration for 5, 10, 15 years.
Deciduous trees like birch and aspen live for about 100 years, so the team couldn't simply wait for one or two centuries to find out what happens in the forest.
So we went out and found all these different aged stands across the boreal forest in Alaska and sampled them and tried to make sure that we had a good comparative set of ages that could be linked together as being probably starting from the same initial conditions and then just of different ages. And that piecing together is like doing a jigsaw puzzle.
The pieces of the puzzle that are still missing are the ones that help explain how we pump the brakes enough to keep that bus from reaching the cliff. For Scientific American's 60 Second Science, I'm Emily Schwing.